Okay, so the last 2 days, yeah. So we've been, I don't remember the last time we did this in Parsha. We did one thing over many, many days, but it's a big topic, so.
We did it over the Makkah.
Okay, so what we've been dealing with is two related questions, right? Is the status of the things that the Jews borrowed from the Mitzrim, and the related question of who knew that they were going out for this 3-day journey was not, in fact, a three-day journey. So, day one, we dealt with the people who said, everybody knew this was not a 3-day journey, and therefore these were gifts. Were they gifts because they just wanted to come out? Were they gifts because some of them were friends? Was this not a gift? It was a swap, because they knew they were property behind, and therefore they were trading, and they said, listen, we'll buy the property off of you, you know, we'll give you metalklin, you give us karka, and whatever the case may be. Or versions of the possibility that these were payment, known payment, for the slavery, or this was ha'anaka, that this was the present that you give to a slave when he goes free. All that was one. Then we noted that some of those carry over, where you could say, look, in a chanami they were tricking them, but you could say it's payment for the... it was payment anyways.
Right.
And we said that that's the simplest part of the Gemara, where the Gemara has this machlokes that emerges between the Egyptians and... Right, they bring it to court against the Jews with Alexander the Great, and they say, you stole property from us because you said you were borrowing it and you in fact took it. And the Jews responded, okay, but you owe us money. Now, it doesn't say explicitly, yes, we did steal, but so what? But that seems to be the simplest shot in the Gemara, which is they said, yes, you're right, we tricked you, but we stole $1 million and you owe us $1 billion, so if you want to bring this to court, let's do that. But the implication there is that this was, in fact, trickery. Which brings us then to the question of why, right, why would we do this, right? I mean, why would we dafka trick them? Now again, we talked about the possibility that it could be that the people who think that they knew this was 3 days, it was because that it wasn't 3 days, but they have to assume that there was some sort of change of plan at some point, right? Maybe after Makkah Bechorot or something like that. But let's move to the possibility that it's trickery. There are still other possibilities we haven't explored. Should we do that, actually? Should we start with the trickery, or should we... Okay, actually, before we get to trickery, let's do one more possibility. Another possibility, which is the opposite extreme, right, is that this wasn't trickery. In fact, the Jews fully intended to return. Right? Right. That would be the opposite extreme, is they fully intended to return. And therefore, that's the opposite way of solving this problem, which is to say, these were originally loans. They were taken out as loans. They intended to return. They just, in the end of the day, didn't have to return it. Why didn't they have to return it?
Because they chased after
them when we're dead. Right? Right? So, possibility one is that everyone knew this was forever, and this was some version of honesty. Now, we'll get to the deception maybe tomorrow. Right? The opposite extreme is that they really did intend to come back after 3 days, and therefore these really were loans, and it was all honest. It's just that they planned to return. And this is, for example, the position of Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shor. Right, and the B'chor Shor said this. If you look at Perek Yud Dalet, he says V'yashuvu. Right, when Paro says, you know, you'll go and you'll come back, he means anyone says shit to you, badaim shamar dem derech shloshu yamim v'tachzuru v'gal sham gam shaltem kleihem amenat lachziram ulekach tashuvu lamur al monatchem. He said you have to come back because you said you were going to go for 3 days, so that's what you have to do. You borrowed things, so you've got to return them. And that's what you've got to do. But what happened? So the Bechor Shores theory is that, remember, how many days in did the Egyptians turn after the Jews on day
seven?
The Bechor Shores understanding is that essentially they really did mean they were going for 3 days. 3 days just meant three travel days, which means 3 days, a day of celebration, or a day or two of celebration, and then turning back. So on day seven, the Jews, according to Bechor Shor, were actually on their way back. They were actually on their way back. And Paro jumped the gun, assumed they were trying to flee, ran after them, and at that moment, everything switched, because he waged war against them completely unfairly, which led to the necessary miracle of Kriyat Yamsuf, and now they're all dead, so who are you going back to? Right? You promise you're going to go back to these Egyptians, and the Egyptians are dead. Right? And now you get to keep the property, because now they have become spoils, whatever it is. Now, there are variations on this, right? You could say that it was 3 days walk, 1 or 2 days of celebration, and 3 days turning back, and the Paro just didn't realize, so he gave chase early. It could be that what they meant was something like the amount of time it would, the distance it would take an average human being walking by himself to get in 3 days, but for a nation of hundreds of thousands of people with animals and everything, it takes 5, 6 days, 7 days to get.
Might have been 30,000.
As what?
Might have been 30,000.
However many people it is, right? But 600,000 people, as the Torah says, 600,000 men, so millions of people. Whatever it is, the point is, right? You know, it's,
way,
look,
it's still a lot of people.
Basically, all of like, look, last week, every time I walked on Shabbos for Sheva Brachos, I'd ask how far is the walk, and the answer was always 10 minutes by yourself with kids, 20 minutes, right? So it could be that that's what was going on here also. They literally meant a 3 day walk, but they didn't mean 3 days. They meant a 3 day walk for a normal person with a nation. It's twice that long, so 6, 7 days. And Paro just didn't realize. And
why didn't they make that clear to Paro? That seems like a weird, like, misunderstanding.
I don't know. When someone says it's a 10 minute walk, they don't, right? A 10 minute walk. I mean, like, that's a shear of distance. Think about it. Right. We do this in halacha all the time, and you don't even blink an eye.
Right.
The shear of arba mil. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, nowadays we drive. Arba mil, right? We get in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
No, derech arba mil, 72 minutes, because that's, it's a shear. Right? So you could have just said, derech shloshet yamim doesn't mean 3 day walk, it means a 3 day walk of distance. However many it takes to get there, 5, 6 days, right?
Yeah, you don't. It just feels like something you would clarify. I don't know.
Whatever. Okay, again. I'm not married to this pshat. I'm saying there is a variation on the pshat that in Ochanami, everyone really intended this as a 3 day journey. And therefore, these were just loans. It was just that Paro messed up, jumped the gun, waged war when he shouldn't have, and Memela, him and all his people died. So, or maybe Paro himself didn't die, but Egypt was decimated, so there's nowhere to go back to. There's no one to give the money back to. It becomes spoils of war, or it becomes hefker, or whatever, right? And that's really what's going on. Right? And that is, so that is, right, the opposite extreme. So again, what we've seen so far is we spent 2 days on the possibility that everyone knew that this was forever, and this was above board for one of five different reasons. Right, all the way to the other extreme is the possibility that no, everybody literally actually intended a 3 day journey. Paro, the Jews, it was totally honest, and Paro messed up and chases them and changes the whole scenario into war. And therefore, right, and that creates the problem. Right. Rabbeinu Bachaye is even more extreme. He says, "Chas v'shalom shiyah davar zeh orma kedei levroach." God forbid you should say this was a deception. Ela kedei lekabel mitzvot ki ratzak adush baruch hu lachnisam b'mitzvot ma'at ma'at sher nitzavut chila al shabbat b'marak kinyan shesinu ba'avram sha lo omer lo miyad kachna yitzchak al kachna bin chaychid chasha avtei yitzchak. Said the reason that they wanted a 3 day journey, and they really did, was because it wasn't meant to be that the Exodus happened in one shot. It was supposed to be a slow process, because people can't handle 613 mitzvot being thrown on their shoulders. Ad kidei kach, that and this will come to, I guess, maybe in 2 days, right, is that in Pshat, Hashem did give the mitzvot in
the 3 days.
Staggered.
Well, yeah.
Right? Right? Staggered. And in fact, the first time he gives the mitzvot is a 3-day walk from Yam Suf at Marah.
Right.
Right. So one could say, right, that that's it. Right, that was the plan, was just something along those lines. So again, this is Rosa Bechoshar, this is the Chizkuni, and this Rabbeinu Bachya, and the like. So like I said, the last shot we're going to have to deal with, I guess, tomorrow is what we have sort of intimated several times, which is this possibility that seems to emerge from the Gemara, and I think actually is taken by the lion's share of the Mefarshim here, which is... And which is why, you know, we saved for last, because it's the one that I think we all assumed, which is that this was actually deception. That this was part of the plan, right? That Paro was supposed to think it was 3 days, they were supposed to think this was loans, but it was meant to deceive. And then the fundamental question you have to ask is, why? Right? Why is it that deceit is part of it? And maybe on Thursday we'll just come back to this question of, did they actually ever have this 3 day, which we've talked about the possibility that that's what's happening at Marah. So let's come back to that idea then. Okay.